Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Today's scripture lesson will be the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what it is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May we pray. Eternal God, speak to us wherever we may be. If we are heading away from the familiar to the unfamiliar for fear, turn us back around if that be your will. Speak to us, O Lord, because sometimes what we anticipated you to do, you do not do, and our disappointment and our confusion is all self-made. Realign us, O Lord, to who you are, to what God has sent you to do, and have you sent us to do. So now speak to us, breathe in us and through us, that we might have peace and be able to live in a world that seems to be always falling apart and who would grab us and pull us down with it if we would allow it. But we're not going to do that, O Lord. We are going to hold to you, and you're going to hold to us, and we're going to hold to one another, and we're going to stand, and we're going to endure until the end. For those who endure to the end shall be saved. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How did you sleep last night? I slept pretty good until the rains came. The winds started beating against the parsonage. I woke up. It sounded like a ghost. You know, it sounded like a ghost outside the parsonage there blowing. But as I sat there and I listened to the rain and the wind, I thought about my sleep number. Do you have a sleep number? If you have a sleep number bed, you might dial it to that sleep comfort that you may have. If you don't have a sleep number, I would like to give you a sleep number, Psalms 4. That's a good sleep number. Psalms 4 talks about that whenever something is bothering us, all we have to do is call out to the Lord and He will hear us. Sometimes we might think that we're between a rock and a hard place, and that may be how it feels, but that's not always how it is. And I think you and I need to recall that. How I feel isn't how it is. How I feel isn't who I am. How I feel says more about me in my situation, but doesn't mean that my situation has to stay that way. It can change. Sometimes we feel between a rock and a hard place, and we need God to lengthen that place. In the book of Psalms, the 4th chapter, it talks about how God widens our space, gives us space to move. One of the great things about the Lord is that He's not judgmental. A great thing about the Lord is He's not legalistic. One of the great things about the Lord is that He trusts you and me. And by trusting you and me, he also puts himself at risk. Because if he was to control everything that you and I did, it would be because we were mechanical. We are robots. But as a result of his trust for us, we can be human beings. He trusted Adam and Eve. All of these trees out here that you see, you can eat, but one you cannot. He trusted them to make the right decision. Did they make the right decision? No, they didn't. That's what happens when you trust people. They can make the wrong decision, but that's what trust is about. Many times you and I may whoop up on ourselves because we trusted someone and they used our trust against us. Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be vulnerable. You and I can't live in a world that's not vulnerable. Have you ever tried to protect yourself from being hurt? Have you ever tried to protect yourself from ever someone doing something to you that you would regret them doing? Have you ever tried to protect yourself from all the evil in the world? One of the things about protecting ourselves from the evil is you don't experience the good either. Because you don't know which is coming down the road. Either the good or the bad. Therefore, you question it all. You don't experience it in being able to determine which it was and then to do something about it. In other words, we try to save ourselves from experiencing it so we don't have to do something about it. One of the things that you and I do in this world is we live a vulnerable life. Things happen to us. Not necessarily because we make it happen to us. Sometimes it just happens to us. I remember when I was in the hospital, I had a person come and see me, and they sort of wondered what I did to put myself in this situation. Well, I thought that was a pretty good question. I wish I had an answer. I said, well, I guess I breathed in when I should have breathed out. Or maybe I shouldn't have touched this when I touched that. I have no idea what I did, but I'm sure that I did something to bring this about. But I'm not sure that it was God's will for me to go through what I went through. I believe as a result of getting sick and all, God was willing to show up. One of the ways that he was willing to show up is when it all occurred, I was home. And Mary called Dr. Scoggins, and of course, you know, what was he doing? He was out visiting somebody instead of in the neighborhood where I needed him. North Carolina. What he was doing up there, God only knows. Max, he was at the place. It was closed. Miss Emily, I got a hold of her. She was in Atlanta. You know, where are doctors when you need them? And Mary says, I'm calling Jim Bullman. And Jim came over there in that red truck, pulled out his bag and started listening to me. Called Dr. Scoggins and I knew it wasn't good because he said, I'll try. That's what he said to Dr. Scoggins. I'll try. And I thought, oh, this is not good. He said, Randall, I think you need to go to the hospital. Well, I don't want to go to the hospital. When you go to the hospital, they find out what's wrong with you. I don't want something to be wrong with me. So if I stay home, I don't have to hear a doctor say, there's something wrong with you. But for some reason, don't ask me why, I said, okay. Which was so stupid. Why would I say that? That was so stupid. So Jim calls an ambulance. And Mary says, what am I going to do? I have to stay here with Timothy. What am I going to do? And Jim said, I'll go with him. So Jim followed the ambulance in his truck all the way to Fort O. And he stood beside my side. And you know, whenever you're in the hospital, it's nice to have an EMT sitting there with you, knowing what's going on. You see, Jim was my missing star. You know, last Sunday we heard what disaster means. It's one's missing star. And when you and I give to UMCOR, we sort of help establish that shining star with feet and hands. Jim was my faith with a little skin on it, you know what I mean? I could reach over there and touch him or look at him, and He could watch my monitor. He could see a lot of things going on. And he was my help in a time of trouble. But God put Jim there. But he couldn't have done that unless Jim was willing to go. Amen?
Amen.
You know, Jim was willing to go. Whenever opportunities come our way, you and I have an opportunity to say yes or no. We have that freedom. We have that power. UMCOR gives us the opportunity to give to the general fund where it's distributed to where they think it's needed. Or if there is a certain area in the United States, it will have a specific number that we can write our money to and it can go specifically to there. But what's important is usually when a disaster happens, UMCOR is the first on the scene. I'm proud of that. I don't know if you are or not, but being an extended of the United Methodist Church, I'm glad to hear that UMCOR is the first feet on the ground when there is a disaster, which means that when people are hurting or in need, an extension of the United Methodist Church is there before anyone else. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. But brothers and sisters, you don't have to be in a disaster area to help someone. This coming week, God may put you in place with someone who's going through a disaster. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they've lost their marriage. Maybe they've lost something very near and dear to them. I'll never forget when I was doing hospice, I remember a first patient that I went to. She was so bossy. So bossy. I didn't understand. Give me a drink of water. Now wash that glass. Now do this. Now do that. And I thought, lady, who do you think you are? And I went back and I was talking to some of the people I worked with. And they said, Randall, you're new at this, aren't you? And I said, well, I reckon I am. They said, well, listen to this. When someone is at stage 4 with cancer and they're dying and they have no control of it, they're going to try and control whatever they can to cope with what they can't control. Oh my gosh, why didn't someone tell me that before I went there? I couldn't understand it. I thought she was just being a pain in the bazooka. No, she wasn't being a pain in the bazooka. She was trying to deal with what she couldn't control by controlling who she could. Give me a drink of water. Well, the next time I went over there, you know what I said to her? Can I do anything for you? Because all of a sudden, I now understood why she was doing what she was doing. It wasn't because she was mean or hateful. She was afraid. That's one thing that you'll learn about fearful people. People who have to always be in control. They're afraid. Something has happened in their life that took something from them or changed their life in some way that they didn't like it, and they're going to do whatever they can to never let that happen again. I can relate. But to those of us who tried, I say to you, good luck. Good luck. For it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, you and I are vulnerable people who's going to experience many things in this world, even though you and I may not want to do that. And it's not because we're bad people or evil people. You and I live in a world that is broken. And as a result of knowing Jesus Christ, you and I can offer words of hope. You and I can be around people and offer them words of hope if they can receive it, if they're ready to hear it. One of the things that I've learned is when someone is going through something real terrible and they don't know I'm a pastor, I'll go and see them and I wait on them to mention God before I mention God. I learned that in the emergency room at Erlanger. You start talking to people about God, when they're not ready to talk about God, they'll beat you half to death. They'll beat you half to death. They'll look at you and wonder who the world you are because they're not ready for that. I learned that the way you minister to people is you let them set the agenda, not you. Because then they will reveal to you whether or not they're ready or not. That's just wisdom that you learn. I've done it the other way. And people will look at you and it's like, what are you saying? What are you doing talking about Jesus? I'm not even there yet. Wait till I get there, then talk about Jesus. Here we had disciples who was fearful. And here you have Jesus who walks among them and he finds out why they're so fearful. Because something happened out of their control. Something happened that they didn't expect. Yet what happened was something that someone came to do because his Father sent him and he was obedient unto the cross. Jesus found out what they were upset about. He said, let me share with you about the scriptures. Let me share with you what was supposed to happen to the Messiah and why it happened. And when he experienced it to them, when he talked to them about it, and they finally almost grasped, or they were getting a grasp of it, all of a sudden they could go now and become the people they were created to be. One of the greatest stories in the Bible is when John and Peter go to the temple, and there's a lame man there from birth. And he holds up his cup and he wants some silver and gold. And of course you remember what Peter said to him. Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And he got up and he walked. And what's interesting in the story is everybody started looking at Peter and John. And Peter and John, let me paraphrase, said, you looking at me? You looking at me? Why are you looking at me? Who are you looking at? You looking at me? And of course, what Peter wanted them to say is that what they saw was the power of the Almighty God that works through you and me, works through those who have received Christ by faith. There are things, brothers and sisters, that you and I can do in this world, that God can do through you and me in this world, if you and I will just give Him a chance to work. If we will just have hope, if we will just believe, instead of always seeing the dark side of things. I have a dear friend who's retired out of the ministry. And sometimes he will call and he will talk to me. And the only thing that he can talk about is how everybody did him wrong. Negativity. Negative. I have come to learn that if you and me want to be safe, just be safe, all we have to do is talk negative. That is a very, very safe place to be. How awful this world is. Oh, how bad this world is. Oh, how bad. And just look for all the negativity and just talk about it. And you and I will be safe because nothing will ever change. That's a safe place to be. But if you are a person who wants adventure, if you are a person who's not afraid to risk, then look for the stars. Look for something that is shining in the midst of what might be falling away, and you might find something called hope. Hope that things can change. Things can get better. You and I may not always see it getting better as quick as we'd like to see it, but things do get better. But before you can see it, you have to look for it. I end in this. The next time you go to Disney World, I ask you to look for three circles, two ears, and one head that's all over Disney World. It's Mickey Mouse. He's in the pavement. They put a design of Mickey Mouse all over Disney World. But the only way that you can see it is if you know it's there and you look for it. Brothers and sisters, God is present among us. You can see Him if you believe He's there and if you are looking for Him. May we pray. we can find, O Lord, whatever it is we are looking for, good or bad. We pray, O Lord, that we are not always people who want to be safe. We are called to go out into this world and to share the good news, knowing the risks. Yet, O Lord, without risks, there is no hope. So we pray, O Lord, that as we go out, we would know that you take risks with us. And many times we see change and we see negativity turn to positive things. And that is evidence that you are alive and well, and that that's the reason the gates of hell shall not prevail against that place and that people called your church. Help us to walk that way, O Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.